Usually there's a video and there's noise, but there's actually no noise right now. I wanted to kind of add to, since we're doing the Horizon Awards and we're celebrating us, something that we haven't celebrated yet, and that is this past Thursday for Trunk or Treat, we passed out over 1,400 hot dogs, about 1,440-ish, sort of, close to that, somewhere over 1,400. If you were a part of Trunk or Treat at all, either helping out, pass out food and refreshments, setting up, tearing down, or passing out candy, if you could stand, please. Give them a round of applause, please. You can be seated. I don't usually point out individuals, but there was one particular individual who was here from beginning to end. He helped set up, and by setup, I don't mean the setup that happens after the initial stuff. I mean all of it. I mean laying down the plastic and creating spaces so that we could actually pass out candy, so the flow was good. He stayed all the way to the end. He came in the next day after teardown and cleaned up more stuff. Chris Brower, please give him a round of applause. He's in the back. We give him a gift card. Thank you, Chris. I want to transition us into a short devotional. And for most of you, you have come across 1 Corinthians 13 in your lives, either reading the Bible at a Bible study, most probably at a wedding that you've been to in your life. You've heard love is patient, love is kind, and it's good. It's good to be used at weddings because the stuff that Paul says about love is very, very true. However, there is a specific context to 1 Corinthians 13. And in the church of Corinth, there was jealousy and arrogance and sexual immorality and lawsuits and quarrels and disorderly worship and abuse of power and misuse of spiritual gifts. And so Paul is writing to a community that is not necessarily reflecting the person and the love of Jesus Christ. And so in chapter 12, he talks about how there's one body and many gifts, and collectively we make up the body of Christ with all of our gifts, and how we all need each other. We all need to show up and to be involved and to be using our gifts, because all of us reflect who Jesus is and what he's done, not just some of us. And then in chapter 14, he talks about orderly worship and what it looks like to use our gifts in an orderly fashion during the worship services. And then chapter 13 is sandwiched between 12 and 14. It is the meat to the sandwich. It is the glue in many ways. Specifically, Paul talks about not just love in general, but a specific kind of love that he calls agape love. And agape in the New Testament means the caring, self-sacrificing commitment which shows itself in seeking the highest good of the one loved. It is unrestricted, unrestrained, and unconditional. And so when Jesus is asked, what is the greatest commandment? He says, love God with everything you have and love your neighbor as yourself. It is the most important thing. Paul reiterates this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This agape love is the fuel. This agape love is the glue that holds everything we do together. It gives everything that we do meaning. With it, we can change our community. With it, we can change our world. And without it, we're just taking up space and we're just making noise. Now, agape love is stronger than just affirming somebody. It's more than just loving somebody wherever they are. Of course, it means that. But it means more than that. It's not just loving somebody where they are. It's loving them too much to leave them where they are. And so it is difficult at times. It is a very powerful thing. And so as we look at just a few verses in 1 Corinthians 13, as you read this down, let me just give you a few short and brief definitions for some of these terms that Paul uses. Love is patient. It's long-tempered or long-suffering. It's not short-tempered. It's kind. It's gracious. It's an act of providing something beneficial. Somebody who's willing to help, being generous and gentle. Love does not envy. Envy is a zeal or a passion for something that belongs to somebody else. True love doesn't do that. Love doesn't brag. It's not self-promoting. promotional. It doesn't parade its accomplishments around. It doesn't give vain displays of one's own worth or achievements. It is not proud. It is not rude. And by rude, I mean behaving in an ugly, indecent, or unbecoming manner. Love is not self-seeking. It doesn't seek its own means, its own way, pleasure, profit, honor. It is not self-absorbed. Love is not easily angered in terms of having outbursts and rage. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Gulp. Love doesn't keep score. It doesn't occupy itself with wrongs done to self. It never takes or keeps inventory. Love does not delight in evil. Whatever is offensive to God, love wants nothing to do with that. Instead, love rejoices with the truth. And when we fail to understand this, when we fail to live this out, when we miss it, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, we are like a clanging cymbal. When we miss it, when we strive to make a point instead of an impact, when we strive to win an argument with someone on social media, when we offer feedback to somebody, even though the feedback may be really good, but the person doesn't really trust us yet, when we're involved in doing loving and sacrificial things, but we're doing it with a growing sense of entitlement, when we ask people that are new, people in the community, to come to us to learn the ropes, to do the heavy lifting, and to figure out how we do things, when we are indifferent to suffering in our community and around the world, when we are more affiliated with a political party than we are Jesus Christ, when people who don't know Jesus come near us, this is what we sound and what we feel like. But when we, like Sparta Baptist does so well, when we give of our agape love sacrificially that flows from the person and work of Jesus Christ, when we roll up our sleeves and we sacrifice for the betterment of other people that we do at Sparta Baptist so often and so well, we are like a refreshing drink of water on a hot day. I believe as a church that we are refreshing to our community, that we are refreshing to those that we come into contact with. But it's difficult because we don't measure up. Any of us, if we are honestly looking at this short list in 1 Corinthians 13, realize as individuals and as a church, we don't measure up. None of us can measure up to that list all of the time. So the question is, does that mean that we're just a clanging cymbal? Does that mean that we're just making noise? And I would say no. Because this list is not a checklist. This is love personified. I believe that Paul is leading us not to a checklist, but he's leading us ultimately to a person. He's leading us to a person, the only person that loves us completely as is and too much to leave us where we are at the same time. Let's look at what Paul says in another place in Philippians 2 about who this person is and what he's done. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is love personified. This is love of a person, Jesus Christ, who is also God. We love only because Jesus first loved us. Love changes the world. But before it can change the world, we individually and collectively must be confronted by this love and melted by this love. This love has to recenter us and refocus us time and time again. It has to change us from the inside out. And so I would offer this. We know that we are not perfect, but I believe that we are like a refreshing glass of water in our community. Why? Because even though we're not perfect, we lean into this love. And every time people see our acts of love and good service, our agape love, we don't say, look at me, look at me, look at me. Ben, Sparta Baptist, how do you have the energy to love people like this? Why do you love and care about me like this? And we say collectively, look at him. Look at him. look at him. Look at him. And it actually works both ways, because of the times when somebody says to me or to you, why do you have this level of hypocrisy in your life? You don't seem to be displaying Jesus in this way or that way. We can humbly accept that, receive that, apologize for that, and then we can say, don't look at me ultimately. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. I am so proud to be part of a church who is refreshing. I am so proud to be able to stand up here and to celebrate you. I love being one of your pastors. I love this day. I hope and pray that this will give us momentum and an excitement going forward.